Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I have been so excited all day today concerning our new teaching lesson today, Brother Harold and I, concerning the ingredients of agape love. So listen to this, listen to this. Agape love, simply defined as unconditional love, the main character of God. Through intimacy with God, we experience agape love. The first and great commandment is love. Jesus said to him, according to Matthew 22, starting at verse 37, listen to what he says. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Minister Harold Copeland and myself, Carnita Smith, we are going to expose the ingredients of agape love through the Bible. And we know the Bible is a love letter to us all. So I hope you come ready, willing, and able. Get your tablets, get paper. Just be ready to take some sweet nugget notes that will pierce your heart that you would lead by love. So I've got my special guest in the house today, in the studio, Minister Harold Copeland, and I just want him to introduce himself as he always does and just guide us through these beautiful words, these beautiful passages, the love letters called the Bible. Minister Copeland.
Hello again, everybody. I am Harold Copeland. And along with the host, teacher, woman of God, my friend, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio to break some bread with you, and you break some bread with us, the manna that comes from heaven. And you know, I always like to welcome everybody to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. You're always welcome, and we love you. And we just want you to know that it's an honor, a privilege, a great opportunity to be able to fellowship with you concerning the truth of our Lord and our God. Now, the way we want to start out tonight, we just finished a series, The Benefit of Being in Christ. And last week, our topic was the nature of God. And there were some points I wanted to leave you with, and I didn't have time to do it. Thought out by releasing those points to you so you can write them down. You know, the reason we give you scriptural reference, and we ask questions and leave points is because during your study time, that's right, during your study time, you can use this material to increase your knowledge of God. Now, Minister Copeland didn't tell you to go study. This comes from God. It's a commandment of God. And I believe it's appropriate if we just open up by reading that command Let's read 2 Timothy 2:15.
2 Timothy 2. And we're going to start at 15. And it reads this way. And I'll read this out of the NIV translation. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with prosperity.
Amen. I like that. Now let's try 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was first. Second Timothy 2:15. And it reads this way. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Praise God. That's a commandment. Do your best. And that's by studying. And notice it read unto God, not Minister Copeland or Minister Smith, unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And what do we study? We study the Word of God. And when we study the Word of God, God makes us a workman. And see, that's what our host is doing. She's a workman. And she called me over to work with her. And when you study, then she's going to call you over to work with you. And if they need not to be ashamed, if we're Christians and we don't study the Word, we're going to find ourselves empty. What empty means, we won't have nothing to say about our God. Amen. And that makes us shame before the people. And he said, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the word of God. So rightly dividing it is line on line, precepts on precepts. Here a little, there a little. Putting that word together. So, and I just wanted to show you through that studying the word of God comes from God, and it's a commandment of God to me, to Minister Smith, and to you also. The first point I want to lead you with comes out of Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Let's read Romans chapter 5, verse 13.
Romans 5, verse 13. And it reads this way. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law.
Yes. And the point, I wanted to take the word imputed, which means charge, which was read very well in there. Charge imputed into your account. And the question for your study is, what does the word impute mean? And impute is an accounting term used in accounting, also used in bookkeeping, where somebody can impute, charge, or put money into, put it into your account. You didn't put it in there. It wasn't your money. But somebody put it into the account. And since it's your account, it belongs to you. It comes to you. Impute. You know, back in the day, I don't know if they do it now. We could go to the grocery store and get some groceries and didn't have to pay for it. Just say, put it on the tab. You know, and I said the same thing. Impute. Charge it to. Put it on the account. And the point is, what does impute mean? Impute means to charge. The next point comes out of Romans chapter 7, verse 7.
Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say? What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet.
Yes. And the point we want to leave out of that one is, what was the purpose of the law? And the purpose of the law was to make sin known. And that was, as was read in that scripture, Paul didn't know that covenant was in him. He didn't even know what covenant was until he read the law. And the law told him not to do it. And then he found out, oh, I got covenant within my members. So the purpose of the law was to make sin known. Next point comes out of Galatians chapter number 3, verse 24.
Galatians 3, 24. And it reads, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen. And the point that's coming out of here is, we're just giving you another purpose of the law. So what was that second purpose of the law? And that was to show mankind their need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I say that again. To show mankind their need for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The next point we want to emphasize comes out of the book of John, chapter number 8, just a long one, get ready to read, verses 1 through 11.
John 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to her, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have some to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and he wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and went on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the point we want to pull out of that is, how did Jesus deal with the woman caught in adultery? And two beautiful words, in mercy and grace. Knowing that mercy means he did not give her the punishment that she deserved. And knowing that grace means he gave a divine favor instead, mercy and grace. Next point, let's look at the book of John, chapter number 3, verse 24.
John 3:24, and it reads, starting in chapter 3, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. And I continued with 26.
Okay, thank you very much. And let's skip over to 34, John 34.
Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure.
And the point we pull out of that is, did Jesus' word in action reflect the true nature of God? And we all know the answer. Yes, yes. Next point, Romans chapter 5, verse 6.
Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly.
And the point we pull out of that is God's love was directed toward us, you and me, toward us when we were what? His love directed toward us when we were what? And we was without strength. We was helpless. And we was ungodly. And that's when he loved us the most. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Next point, and we're getting to the end. Romans, my favorite book, chapter number 5, verse 8.
Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
And the point we bring out of that is, God loved us while we were what? And we know the answer. Sinners. Next point, my favorite book, Romans, same chapter, chapter number 5, verse 10.
Verse 10, for if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
Amen. And the point we bring out of that, again, God loved us while we were what? And that scripture say, his enemies. And he loved us while we were his enemies. And that love brought us into his kingdom. And we get to experience his true nature, which is love, agape love, which makes us a friend of God. Now that officially closed the series of the benefits of being in Christ and that chapter of the nature of God. And make sure you study. And we are officially getting ready to move in for the series, The Ingredients of the Agape Love. And we want to start out by reading our lunch pad scripture. And our lunch pad scripture is coming out of the book of John, chapter number 3, verse 16.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life.
Thank you, God. Thank you. We give you praise. Okay, we're getting ready to jump right on into the series, The Ingredients of the Agape Love. And before we get started, we are going to read the Agape Love chapter in its entirety, a beautiful chapter. And that comes out of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13. And we're going to start with verse 1 and take it all the way to the end.
1 Corinthians, chapter 13. Tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not loved, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Praise God. God, thank you for your agape love. Now, the way we're going to break this down is we are going to start in verse 4 and speak of the ingredients that they are releasing to us. And we're going to take the ingredients and just put them all together and allow our hearts to receive the ingredients. And after we get all the ingredients in our hearts, then we're going to go back to verse 1, and we're going to elaborate scripture all the way from verse 1 to the end. Let's get started. So we look at the first ingredient. It suffers long. Now, I'm going to reference scripture so that you can write it down. We're not going to read the scripture, but I'm going to reference it, and then I'm going to expound on it. Just paraphrase. That's the word I'm going to use. I'm going to paraphrase it just to give you a little meat of it. But during your study time, somebody said study time. During your study time, you go back and read the scriptural reference and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the spiritual realities and the spiritual truths into your heart that you can come up with these truths. So we look at suffering long. You know, write this down, the scriptural reference. God demonstrated this suffering long in the book of Hosea. And he showed it in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So write down Hosea chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And what happened, I'm paraphrasing. And what happened, God commanded Hosea to go marry an unfaithful woman. You know, today's vernacular, we could say a prostitute. So God commanded Hosea to go marry a prostitute. And what happened, Hosea married the prostitute. Her name was Gomer, G-O-M-E-R. Hosea married Gomer. And they began to have children. Now, shortly after the children came, Gomer went back out and started back prostituting. Several times, she started prostituting some more. Now, you know, this was hard on Hosea, but with the help of God's power, every time Gomer went out, Hosea would go back and get her. Because through God's power and the love that he had for God, he was suffering long with Gomer. And another term we would say is long suffering. We see that in the Bible also. So Hosea was suffering long with his wife, Gomer. Now, the Bible says that the last time Gomer went back out into the world to try to prostitute, The Bible said the world didn't even want her anymore. And what the world did, they put her on an auction block to sell her to the highest bidder. And God commanded Hosea again. And he told him, sell everything you got and go and buy her off of that auction block and bring her home. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Then Hosea sold everything he had. And he went to the auction block and he brought his wife back and he took her home. And what the Bible said, this time, Gomer was a changed woman. And that's suffering along with us. And God demonstrated through that how he suffered along with us. And I know he suffered along with me in my midst. You know, I'm like Paul. I'm not ashamed. Amen. I'm pressing on. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. And that's because God suffered along with me. First ingredient. Now we look at the second ingredient. The second ingredient is kind. Amen. We have suffered long in our hearts, and now we have kind. And I'm going to reference it just like I did the first one, then I'm going to paraphrase. And we're going to reference that out of Luke chapter 10, verses 33 through 35, and it's formerly known as the Good Samaritan. And God is our Good Samaritan. And what happened was a man was going down from Jerusalem and he was going to Jericho. He was a Jew. But then he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. And then they ran away. And they was leaving him for dead. A priest came by. Yes, I said priest. A man of God. A priest came by. A priest of the Jews came by, saw the man, crossed over to the other side, and would not help him. A Levite came by. A Levite, another man of God, saw the man, saw his need, and he also crossed over to the other side. But then a Samaritan came by. You know, the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. They thought the Samaritan was like the scum of the earth. The Samaritan was the Jews' enemy. But this Samaritan, he had compassion for the man. And he soothed the man's wounds with oil and wine. He bandages them up, put the man on his donkey, took the man to an inn, told the keep, he cared for the man himself. But the next day, he went to the keeper, gave the innkeeper money, and said, you take care of him. And when I come back, if the money ran out and this wasn't enough money, I'm going to pay you what I owe you. That's kind. And God is kind. He suffered along with us. He's kind to us. And the next ingredient is envious not. You know, envious take on the tone of jealousy. And it's in jealous not. But in Exodus 22 through 6, we understand God did say, I'm a jealous God. He said that. But this ingredient says, jealous not, envious not. So let me explain. There's no contradiction. God is not jealous of me, you. He's not jealous of us. But God is jealous of those false gods that try to get in our hearts and minds, those false gods that try to fit themselves into the empty void that only the true and living God can fit into our hearts. He's jealous of those idolatrous gods. And he's so jealous of them, he would do anything to destroy them so they will not destroy us because we are his loved ones. And the Bible shows that. I'll give you a reference. Just write it down. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And what happened was the ark of the covenant was stolen. And we understand that the Ark of the Covenant in those days, that God didn't have a church building to come in, and God wasn't living in people's hearts because the Holy Spirit hadn't been manifested into the earth. So God's presence was in a box called the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was stolen from the Jews by the Philistines. The Ark of the Covenant was taken to the house of Dagon. And we understand that Dagon is a false god, a statue, an idolatrous god. And what they did, they took the Ark of the Covenant and set it right beside Dagon. And they were using symbolism to say Dagon, our god Dagon, is just as equal to the god of the Jews. And they let the Ark of the Covenant stand by Dagon overnight. But when they woke up, that idolatrous god, Dagon, had fallen straight on his face. And God did that because he's a jealous God. And so what happened is they picked him up, Dagon, the false god, and they placed him right beside the Ark of the Covenant. But overnight, that false idolatrous god, Dagon, fell flat on his face again. When they woke up, they saw it, and the Philistines picked him up and put him right back by the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. But that last night, not only did Dagon fall flat on his face, but he broke in many pieces. He was like a puzzle. You ever try to start out putting a puzzle together? It's kind of confusing. Dagon was like Humpty Dumpty. Amen. He had a great fall. And all the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Dagon back together again. Yes, God is a jealous God, but he's not jealous of us. Love, the agape love is not jealous of us. The agape love is jealous of every false God that would try to fill the empty void in our hearts that only the true and living God, love himself, can do. The next ingredient will be vanish not itself. Vanish not itself. That means it's not about me. Amen. And vanish not itself. He's not lifting up self. Love don't lift up self. Amen. Love lifts up you, and love lifts up me. It's about you. Love is about you, and love is about me. His first concern is you and me, the agape. And the way that was shown in the scripture references Luke chapter number 15, 11 through 32, the prodigal son. And we understand that this prodigal son, you know, he got weary. He just wanted to do his own thing. You know, he's disconnected from his dad. And he said, I need my money. I need my inheritance, and I need it now. And you know, in all reality, he insulted his father. You know, because to ask your father for his inheritance, that's what's disrespect. Because the son did not get the inheritance of the father until the father died. So what he was saying, Father, I wish you was dead. Amen. And see, if the father would have made that about him, he could have just went by the Jewish laws and say a son cannot disrespect his father, a son cannot dishonor his father. If a son disrespect his father and dishonor his father, all the fathers in that town would take that son out of town and stone him to death. Amen. So it wasn't about the father. The father didn't make it about him. He made it about his son. And he realized, this is not my son. My son is lost. Something has happened to my son, and my son needs restoration. And he waited and waited and waited. And by him waiting, the restoration came. And he restored his son back to his original position. And he didn't get selfish and make it about him and take his son out of the town to stone him to death with the other fathers, stoning the son to death. It's not about love itself, but it's love concern is about you and I. Every time we wake up, love is put on our hearts saying, the agape love is put on our hearts saying, what can I do for you today? The sky is the limit. Whatever you can believe me for, you can have it. And that's vanished not itself. The next ingredient is not puffed up. You know, awesome God, awesome daddy that we serve, and we can just magnify him and elevate him and sum him up with three powerful words that take him to the highest level. And one of those words is omnipresent. Amen. And that means he's everywhere. Glory to God. At the same time. Hallelujah. You don't have to get on a bus to go nowhere. Glory to God. You don't have to get on a plane to go anywhere. He's omnipresent. Everywhere. Then he's omniscient. Amen. And omniscient means he's all-knowing. Amen. He didn't have to go to Yale. Amen. He didn't have to go to Harvard. Glory to God. By the way, he birthed Yale and he birthed Harvard. Glory to God. And their knowledge still don't compare to the wisdom and knowledge that he had. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And he's omnipotent. Glory to God. Means all power, that word, all. Don't leave none out. All power in the heavens, all power in the earth, all power under the earth. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. I mean, that would make, see, puffed up means pride. Those characteristics can make someone pride, but it doesn't make God pride. Amen. Because those attributes will make an individual proud and say, I'm too good for you. Amen? You lesser. You can't come into my presence. You can't be in my atmosphere. No, it's different. God has all those qualities. I'm not present, omniscient, omnipotent. He has all those qualities, but he constantly tells us, draw nigh unto me. Amen? And what that means, I want you in my presence. He said, draw nigh unto me. And he didn't say, I'm waiting for you. He said, no, draw nigh unto me, and I draw nigh unto you. Glory to God. You take one step. I'm coming. Because I want you in my presence. Amen. I'm not puffed up. Glory to God. The next ingredient is don't behave unseemly. And what that means is God don't make a scene. Amen. God won't make a spectacle out of us. That's what he's saying. I won't make a spectacle out of you. I won't make a scene. Glory to God. And the way I saw that, I'm sure you've seen it in your lifetime, but I saw it when I was a child. When I was a child, I used to go to the grocery store, and there was a married couple, and they would get in the grocery store. And they will fight. And what that means is they would begin to act unseemly in the grocery store. They will begin to make a scene in the grocery store. They will begin to make spectacles out of each other. They marry. They in love. They're making a scene. They're acting unseemly. They're making spectacles out of each other. Even to the point they will get the man fruit and throw at each other. You know, and then they would leave hugging each other, lovey-dovey. You know, my thing was for them was, if y'all can't agree on what y'all want, do it before you go to the store. Do it at home until you get an agreement. And then when you get an agreement, you know, you're in agreement now. You won't fight about it and go together in a unit and do what you want to. And that's what God said. I ain't going to make no scene, amen, in public with you. I ain't going to make no spectacle of you. I'll never act unseemly with you. And he said, seek is not his own. And we'll reference that with Jeremiah 29:11. And what God is saying is, it ain't about me. It's about you. And I got a plan for you. And it's not an evil plan either. I got a good plan for you. And I'm the only one that know who it is. Your mother don't know. Your daddy don't know. You don't even know. I got the plan. It's a perfect plan. It'll bring you to a perfect end. It'll take you to your destiny. It'll show you your purpose. And I got it. And through the agape, I want to reveal it to your heart. Amen. And the next ingredient will be not easily provoked. Amen. And what that means is we can't easily make God mad. I'm just saying, I'm not easily provoked to anger. Your actions can't easily provoke me. Amen. And we all could just take time and ponder, you know, before salvation. Amen. But then after salvation, we done some things that should have provoked God to anger. After salvation, we've done some things that provoke people to anger. Amen. I know after salvation, I've done some things to provoke my wife to anger. And she got anger. God bless her. Amen. I love her, though. Amen. But we've done some things. But if we look around and check it out, God ain't mad at us. God isn't mad at us. He's not angry at us. He's loving us with his ungodly love. He's loving us with the unconditional love of his heart. He's loving us with the God kind of love. And the way we do that, you know, we don't provoke him to anger. We just say, glory to God. God loves us and in spite of us. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In spite of us. In spite of our actions, in spite of our mistakes, amen, he's love. And the next ingredient is think it's no evil. You know, and the only thing that is saying is when we do some evil, God don't sit around and ponder how he can think of evil to get us back. You know what I mean? Amen. You don't sit around and say, now, how can I repay them for the evil they done? What evil can I come up with that's going to equal the evil they done? No, you know, that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of love. That's not the heart of the agape. That's not the heart of the unconditional love. You don't sit around and think of evil. You sit around and think about, how can I restore them? Amen. How can I bring them up to the highest level? And the next ingredient is rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. You know, and I have to say this, you know, everybody in our circle don't want to see us succeed. Amen. And you know, and being children of God, sons of God, there is some people around us that want to see us fail, want to see us sin, want to see us fall in iniquity so they can rejoice. Amen. But God say, I never want to see you fall. I never want to see you in iniquity. I don't get any glory out of that. What he's saying, I can't rejoice in that because I'm not glorified by your iniquities. God said, I'm glorified only when you come into the truth. Amen. And we know what the truth is. Only when you come into the truth of the word of God. Amen. Only when your heart encounters the truth of my word, only when your heart, mind, and soul encounter himself, and truth himself is Jesus. For Jesus say, I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. Glory to God. And God say, when that truth come into our hearts and our minds and our souls and abide with us, that's where he rejoices. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And they say, love bears all things. And, oh, that's a beautiful word. You know that little word I talk about, all, don't leave anything out. He said, I bear us all things. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. I stand, I bear it all. Amen. Because we know that God worketh all things, the good, the bad, and ugly. He worketh all. He worketh all together. Amen. And after he finished working, amen, we won't see the bad and ugly anymore. All of it's going to be good, glory to God. All of it's good for those that love the Lord. Hi, for those that love, love. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For those that love, love. Those that love the agape. Those that love the unconditional love of God. Those that love the God kind of love, all things work together, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when he finished working together, it's all good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And God believeth all things. And the only thing that means is God believeth, glory to God, all the good things about you. Amen. The accuser of the brother would say, look what they just done. And God said, that's all right. That's all right. I know they're coming out of it. I know they're going to rise up to a higher level. I know they're going to get their breakthrough. I know they're going to get their healing. I know they're going to get their deliverance. I know my glory is coming forth out of their heart and mind and soul. So God just believes all the good things about them. Amen. And God hope is all things. Amen. All the plans, in Jeremiah, the plans that he gave us, he said, I hope it, that it shall come to fruition. Amen. That they shall walk in their calling. They shall walk in their purpose. They shall walk in their destiny. And that's the ingredients of love. And we have all the ingredients together. And we place all the ingredients into our hearts. And we're going to prepare ourselves and we're going to get ready to walk through this love chapter. Amen. With our hearts and our minds and our soul open. Glory to God. And we're going to let love on us in abundance. Glory to God. We're going to let love on us in overflow. Amen. We're going to let love on us until we change like Hosea wise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Until we become a different man and a different woman. Now, maybe there's somebody that has not encountered love. And that's why we're going to take the time to stop. And we're going to take the time to drop. And we're going to take the time to pray. Amen. Because I know that there's some hearts listening and some hearts saying, how can I get this love? And I know that there's some hearts saying that I did too much bad. I'm here to tell you, no, you didn't. I'm like Paul, you know, Paul said, I'm the worst of sinners. Oh, Paul said, but I'm just like Paul. I am the worst of sinners. Minister Copeland is the worst of sinners. Amen. But God came in and loved Minister Copeland and changed Minister Copeland's life. And tonight, God is calling on your heart. The agape is calling your heart personally. The agape is knocking at the door of your heart. And we know that when you knock, you want to come in. And the agape wants to come into your heart. We're at the point of the program where we stop, drop, and pray. And I'm turning it over to Minister Smith, and she will take us to the cross.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this brings us to the point of the broadcast where we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. We extend Jesus' hand that you may take his hand and surrender it all to him. So if you would, brothers and sisters, if you would partner with us, pray with us as we do a prayer of salvation for somebody who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. So if you have someone that has just been heavy on your heart, lift them up for prayer. Lift them up by name. And for those of you who don't know him, let's bow our heads and repeat after me. Lord God, I am a sinner. Lord, I know I have not done a lot of things right. I know I haven't said anything right today. Lord, please forgive me. I am a sinner. I see I love you, Lord. And I know I need you, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Please use all of me today. Please into my heart, Lord, that you are the captain of this ship. I've messed it up so bad, but you, through this broadcast and through what I know, love me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me. I believe by faith that your death, the blood, covers my sin. Save me now, Lord God. Here I am. Here I am. Lord, I need thee. I love you and I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you've lifted up someone, that you've called them by name. I pray that you have accepted Jesus Christ wholeheartedly as your Lord and Savior, as your Messiah. Now, we encourage you, Brother Harold and I, and the brothers and sisters who's partnered with us today, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church. We say this on every broadcast, and that is because we take God's word to heart, and we are serious about the word of God. So we encourage you to be serious about the word of God as well. Seek out a Bible teaching church and let them know what you have done today. Tell somebody that you would be baptized by submersion of water when you find that good church home, and seek out a small group Bible study that you would be discipled, a Sunday school class, that you would be discipled so that you can grow and go in grace. That is the ultimate goal, is that you go and grow in God's amazing grace. So we welcome you to the household of faith, to the body of faith, and we are excited that you have given your life to Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Harold, we would probably be a good time for us, or a good resting spot for us in this wonderful series, the love, the ingredients of agape love. And I tell you, I enjoy the title and just how you've broken down each verse within 1 Corinthians 13. And it just brings it real to our hearts to totally understand what agape love means and how to exemplify it as we move across our journey, as we share love with others. So I just believe that this would be a good place to rest, because you've given us so much meat today. Praise the Lord. Verse upon verse, precept upon precept. And that is such a delight to our soul. So, brothers and sisters, please, again, on next week, that we will continue with the remaining of this teaching series, The Ingredients of Agape Love. Share it with someone that they would be blessed by it as well. Don't just hold it for yourself. The Word of God was meant to be shared that others may come into the ark of salvation. So always remember, my brothers and my sisters, that the grass withers, and you know that the flowers fade away. But the Word of God, according to what Brother Harold has shared today with us, according to what you've read in your Bible, always know that the Word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you and praise the Lord. And we hope and pray to sit with you again and rightly divide the word of truth. Have a blessed week.